We now present Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith.
I'll talk to you today along a few lines here in the 94th Psalm. Now, the psalmist cries out in the 94th, O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth. O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, show thyself. Say, doesn't that sound very modern to you? Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever wondered why God lets things go on like they do? You know, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. You know, God Almighty sees to it that everybody gets everything that's coming to him sometime, somewhere. He established a law that men reap what they sow. He fixed it in this universe so no man can do wrong and get away with it. He put it in his Bible, be sure your sin will find you out. No man ever lived in this world that ever was able to beat the game of sin. It's a game that you can't beat. If you try to win in this game, you have to play against the cards of circumstances and justice in the hands of omnipotence, and you just can't win. And yet, sometimes it looks like sin does win. You see everything around you. You see sometimes wicked men prosper. You go to the home of a rich man and listen in vain for footfalls on oriental rugs, maybe. And you look at his beautiful walls with their wonderful pictures, and you see the chandeliers blazing from the ceilings like bouquets of diamonds. And you go into his dining room and see all the magnificence and the silver and the gold plates, maybe, and all the luxury and the food and the servants. And you see his cars, and you know he's a wealthy man, and yet maybe he's a wicked man. And you wonder why. You wonder why sometimes. You go out yonder and maybe see a poor person struggling, tugging, toiling. And a person with faith. And you wonder why. Why is that now, you say? How does God let the righteous suffer sometimes and the wicked seem prosperous? He isn't. He isn't. Wait just a minute. In the universe of God, every man's going to get everything he's entitled to sometime, somewhere. You say to me, you don't believe there's a hell? Well, I know there's a hell. Things have got to be made even in eternity because there's a just God on the throne of this universe. Think of men like Hitler that went up, but look how they went down. Mussolini. Think of the great men of the ages that have gone up and strutted their stuff down some highway of history. And look what happened to some of them. The game can't be beat. And vengeance belongs to God. The man that's going to pour out his vengeance is the one that knows all about us. A God that cannot be fooled, a God that cannot be deceived. And the psalmist said, O Lord, to whom vengeance belongs, lift up thyself, thou judge of the earth, rend reward to the proud. People are strutting the stuff. Wicked men lift high their head. They're defiant sometimes. Somebody comes along and tries to do the right thing, and he's looked down upon. All down the ages, the good have been persecuted. Take the early church. You can't realize what happened. Little children murdered, thrown to wild beasts, people burned at the stake simply because they were on the side of Jesus Christ. That's all. They took his side. But look what happened to him. Stop for a minute. Can you conceive? Oh, you say, how could they do it? Well, how could they? How could they? Now, I ask you, how could anybody spit in the face of the Son of God? Did you ever stop to think of that day when somebody walks up and looks at Jesus on the throne, when he becomes the judge of this earth, and when he begins to reign, and puts down all of his enemies, and somebody walks up and looks into his face and said, that's the face I spit in. And then they look up at his brow with his scars from the thorns and say, yes, I pushed that crown of thorns down on his brow. Think of it. Think of what's ahead of it. But wait a minute. The returns haven't come yet. Jesus Christ was persecuted as nobody ever was. Apostle Paul, who had to do what he did because he's going down the Damascus Road and he was honest when he met Jesus. He didn't think Jesus had been raised from the dead. He thought they were all blasphemers. But when he was convinced, he turned right about face and became the apostle of the Gentiles and went out to preach the gospel. Look at him. Paul, at while beheaded, suffered all his life. It's always been that way. You know, sometimes people say, I don't see how they do those things. I don't either. Yet I know human nature for what human nature is. Now, you know, it's a strange thing. Now, if we were running out here at Bob Jones University, just a nice place out here, we'd get something to eat. And had all these buildings out here, just a nice plant where you come out here and have a good time, enjoy life. Wouldn't anybody bother you or ever criticize you, say anything about you? But you come out here and build a Christian school, try to get young people converted, try to get them saved, try to get them to do all the good possible. And then you run up against opposition on the part of sinners, and sometimes on the part of folks that are supposed to be Christians. Do you know, after all is done and said, I think the final test of whether a man's saved or not is his response to that which is good and his response to that which is bad. You know, for we read in the Bible about the gospel, they that know God hear us. I never saw a day in my life since I was converted that if I heard a man preaching the gospel, trying to lift up Jesus and get somebody saved, I'd be friendly to the man in my heart. You know, I couldn't be any other way. And I think that's what the Bible means. And a great many people sometimes that you may think are saved, when the day comes and the returns come in, you may be surprised. For we read in that day, some will say, don't you know us? We cast out demons in thy name, and in thy name did wonderful works. He said, I never knew you. What a surprise is ahead of us when we stand in the presence of a holy God. Now the psalmist cried out, O Lord, to whom vengeance belongeth. Now don't you wreak vengeance. Vengeance belongs to God. You just turn your enemies over to God. You let God handle the situation for you. It's all in his hands. He's a judge. He's the one that rewards the righteous, and he's the one that pours out vengeance upon the wicked. So just turn him over to God and don't worry. It's all right. That's what Jesus did. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. All down the ages, saints of God have died praying for their enemies because they knew God, and they knew that it was God's responsibility. Now the psalmist says, God, to whom vengeance belongs, show thyself. Lift up thyself, thou judge of the earth. Now that's what he is. He's a Savior, Jesus Christ. He died for us on a cross. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Before judgment came, he offered salvation. If you go back and read through the Old Testament, you'll find in all the prophecies that before righteousness reigns, there's always judgment. Always judgment. Zion shall be redeemed with judgment. You'll find all in the Old Bible, Old Testament, and the prophecies, and even in the Psalms, a picture of judgment before the day dawn and before the light breaks. Now Jesus came down from heaven to earth to offer salvation to people. He came down and walked around among men, blessed the little babies, healed the sick, made the blind to see, the deaf to hear, the dumb to speak, cured the palsied, cleansed the leper, raised the dead, spake as never man spake. Then one day he went up a hilltop and bowed his head on the weight of the sins of the race and died. There he was. He was buried and rose again from the dead. But that's not the last you hear of him. When they put Jesus on the cross, they said, this will end it. His following will be scattered, but not so. That was not the last of him when they put a Roman seal on his tomb. He rose from the dead. And now he went up to heaven. And they met him this side of the grave, and witnesses saw him, and he is not dead. And they killed those early Christians for saying he was not dead. They killed him because they said, Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead. That's the message they preached. Peter, who went back fishing, this discouraged saints went around and said, he's not dead. We talked to him. We saw him. He's been raised from the dead. And they saw him go back to heaven. And then he said to them, he went up, he said, go on and preach. Don't worry about the kingdom. It'll be restored when the Father's ready. But you go out and give this gospel. Now for 2,000 years we've been giving it. Around the world, somebody everywhere has been telling people that God loved them and Jesus died for them. But someday the judge is coming. You're going to look in his face someday. The one I'm talking to you about right now, you're going to look straight in his eye. You can't escape it. Now wait a minute. What are you going to do with Jesus Christ, the Savior? What you do with Jesus, the Savior, the judge, the Lord Jesus Christ, will do with you. Whatever you do with Jesus, God will do with you. If you accept Jesus, God will accept you. You reject Jesus, God will reject you. You confess Jesus, God will confess you. If you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father in heaven. You're on one side or the other. He said, you're my friends if you do what I told you to do. You're a friend or an enemy. There's no such thing as being neutral. There's some things about which a man cannot be neutral. You can't be neutral about some things. You're either for this or not for that. Now, you're either for Jesus or you're not for Jesus. You're not any halfway Christian. You're not just partially a Christian. You're either a Christian or you're not a Christian. You're either saved or you're not saved. You're right or you're wrong. You're going to heaven or you're going to hell. There's no middle ground to it. Now, what you going to do with it? Now, this is a judge here. Someday your heart will be asking, what you going to do with me? Lift up thyself, thou judge of the earth, render reward to the proud. Those that reject you and spurn you. Though when that judgment comes and all the saints of God are gathered home, and those that come in there, and he said, these belong to me. These are the ones that trusted me. These are the ones that confessed me. These are the ones that gave things in my name. These are the ones that went out to serve me in a world in spite of sometimes opposition and persecution. And come into my home with me and be with me. And I'm going to reign and you'll reign with me. But listen, what about the proud that reject him? Oh, when the rewards are measured out and judgment's poured out. Lord, how long shall the wicked triumph? You ever ask that question? How much longer, Lord? How much longer will communism with its 800 million people, all of the pagan, godless effort, how long, God, with some of these other lands of ours, like even Spain, where you don't have any religious liberty, very little of it in Italy, how long, Lord, will that happen? When we've got missionaries over in those countries trying to give the gospel and suffer persecution, how long, Lord? How long in the name of religion sometimes will this persecution be carried on? How long, how long? Who hasn't asked? I've seen the saints of God on foreign fields, missionaries, humble children of God, left home and loved ones to take the gospel and tell men about Jesus. And I've seen them there in some of their difficulties. And when my son was over in Spain some time ago and had to almost slip into the house to worship God, and yet they talk about religion in Spain. How long, Lord? Who hasn't asked that question? Men and women, this isn't any wild sort of a picture. It isn't any kind of a sordid sort of thing. It's real. The judge is coming. You're going to face him someday. You're facing him now. What will you do with Jesus as Savior? What you do with Jesus as Savior, the judge will do with you in that day. You better accept him. Our Father, we look to thee today. We look to thee in humble faith. We thank thee for thy love and grace and thy atoning blood and saving mercy. We pray to help somebody who's listening today to trust Christ, to yield himself to him. Make us all faithful who trust him and love him. Bless us in all our relationships, we pray in his name. Amen.
You have just heard Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith. This program is sponsored by Bob Jones University.